I make comments on Muslims, websites, and Seventh-day Adventists. And some of the reactions that I've been getting have been kind of interesting. So, yeah. First time I ever met a Muslim in St. Vincent, they made me uncomfortable because when they're shaking my hand, they're saying, "And where do you live?" I have never met somebody with that kind of a thing. And you kind of got the impression it's like, I'm coming to your house if I don't like what's going to happen. Eventually, what happened, somebody wrote a letter to the editor of the newspaper and said that the God of Muslims and the Christian God was the same singular God, and the Bible and the Quran were equal. And I wrote a letter and said, "Which Quran have you been reading? Because they're not equal, it's not the same God." And instead of signing my pen name, I signed my real name, and some guy figured it out and gave me a phone call on my cell phone and wanted to meet with me. So when I met with him, he said, "Well, we got to go to such and such a place. You follow me." And I gave my cell phone to my assistant pastor at the time. I said, "Start calling, tell people to pray for us and tell them to call other people." Because we went down to where the mosque was, where they were meeting in St. Vincent, and there were about eight of them and two of us, and I did most of the talking. But every one of them, when they shook my hand, every one of them, "Where do you live?" And then one guy says, "I know where you live. I used to live in that house." So he knew where I lived. And it got interesting because when their high guy, the one of their leaders in St. Vincent came, he got angry. In fact, there was a couple of times they literally grabbed him because he was coming after me. And so, yeah, it was an interesting scenario. So I do know, they might figure out where I live and who I am and whatever, but you know, it is what it is. And I found one guy really responded. I mean, just amazingly so. And I haven't responded back because I just read it this morning. But I said, "If you take away the Bible and Jesus Christ, you do not have eternal life. You don't have anything after you die. There's not one place in the whole Quran that ever talks about a person who came back from the dead and walked among men. None." And I said, "So you can't for sure say there is something hereafter. It's only with the Bible." And he reacted to that. And I'm like, yeah, I notice things like that. And I don't care if you're Muslim or Hindu or whatever other religion you may be, we serve a risen Savior. We have something that no other religion has. And it's not just that Jesus died and rose again from the grave. His lifetime, how many people did he raise from the grave? Tell me, how many did he raise? How many? Three. Okay, number one was a young girl who just died when he was coming. Another one was the young man they were taken to bury. And the third one was Lazarus. But do you know in Matthew, people came from John the Baptist to see if all these claims were true. And they were told, "Go back and tell John the Baptist. You've seen people that were sick healed. You've seen people that maimed healed. And you saw people that were dead raised from the grave." That was before any of those. So there's more than three. And there is no other religion that can have that kind of a claim. So we have something that's really unique. Today we're going to be reviewing what we didn't finish last time. So the first little bit's going to probably go pretty quick. If you're doing the book, you need to see the slideshow because that gives you the answers you need. The sanctity of life, how important is life in today's world? And that's very important because we have a different view of life than the rest of the world. The worldview, framework of ideas and beliefs through which individuals or groups interpreting and interacts with the world. They redefine words. They redefine situations to fit their culture. Oh, I already, what? Oh, well, the technician back there, we only got half of it somehow. I'm reading it up here. Everybody turn around, you can read that one. Oh, they do good. Okay. So we have the worldview. Okay, my clicker quit working too. Yeah. Still not.
Can you click them over your head?
Oh, there we go. The window that people look at the world from, that's what we're trying to get at. And it changes. It'll change from cultural to culture. We probably, as Christian nation, quote unquote, have a higher view of life than many other societies in the world. First of all, we believe we are formed in God's image. And not necessarily in the sense of physical whatever, because God is a spirit, but body, soul, and spirit is the three in one. We find that man does things that God does. We create. You've never seen even a chimpanzee building an automobile and driving a car. You don't see ants building trains. You don't find animals producing electricity, so on and so on. And with that idea, our values of what is right and what is wrong is part of what God defines for us. And I pointed out, as soon as you start saying this is right and this is wrong, my question is, where do you get that idea? And I don't care if you are an atheist even, they still have a right and a wrong. Somehow they think that this is okay and that's not okay. Where does that very idea come from? That's part of how God has created us in His image, that there is a right and that there is a wrong, and it's built into us. Human life has sacred value. If God is the one who's the giver of life, then we ought to also have a value on life. And how high is that value? We find that man was formed of the dust of the ground. I pointed out last week in the Quran, depending on which verse you go to in the Quran, all living things were made out of water, or man was made out of dry clay, or man was made out of dust. Now, which is it? You can't tell. And also, it was creation for 6 days or creation in 2 days, according to the Quran. And that's just starters. Our soul is what makes us unique from the rest of all creation, because we alone are able to reflect something of God's character, mercy, justice, compassion. And it's Christians who have the enablement of the Holy Spirit, we can even reflect the holiness of God. Life is sacred because it originates from God. Human life has a specific beginning. Psalms 139, if you are looking for verses about life. For thou hast possessed my reins and hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth quite well. That whole chapter talks about God knowing David before he was even born. And there might be some cases of when when does life really begin? If you talk to people who abortion, what's the rule now? It keeps changing all the time. It used to be you could have an abortion before there was a heartbeat. But is that when life begins? And I pointed out that scientifically, as soon as you have the egg and the sperm meet, life begins because all of the DNA is in that first cell. Whether you're going to be a girl or going to be a boy and who your descendants are, it's all there. And life doesn't start necessarily at a heartbeat. Already it has begun. And we also believe, because God is the creator, that life has a special purpose. You're here for a specific reason. And as an older class, I try to point out there's a reason you're still here. There's somebody that you influence. There's somebody that you can talk to. There's something you can do for the Lord. I don't know. I don't know of anybody that falls in this category, but being a missionary, I've heard these stories that there's a particular fellow who used to show up at Baptist Missions about once a year and say, okay, now what project can we do, like Bible translation or buildings or something like that? And he would come with over 100. And so if any of you ever get into that category, maybe God's got a special purpose for you. I don't know. But you never know. You never know. You can influence young people, believe it or not. And with the idea, or not the idea, when sin came in the world, it brought some terrible consequences. The damage is very great. We define death. Remember what it was? Separation. We die when the body and the soul and the spirit are separated. The body is put in the ground. The soul and the spirit goes somewhere to be with the Lord or to be into the place called hell. Okay. So death is separation. And that sin that has come in the world has done that. It's separated us from God. And sometimes the separation is quite large, especially in societies that don't want to hear the gospel, don't want the Bible, and they want to do their own thing. But the value of life is protected. We're told, thou shalt not kill in the book of Exodus, but there's another one in Genesis 9 and verse 6, long before that, when Noah came out of the ark after the flood, God said to him, whoso sheddeth man's blood by men, by man shall his blood be shed, for the image of God made he man. And the idea of capital punishment, America has come and gone on that one. They instituted for a while, and then it is done away with. And part of the reasoning of the world is that it doesn't really deter crime if you have capital punishment, that people don't. Yeah, well, if I kill this person, then I'll have capital punishment. Actually, it does deter crime, because a person who killed this guy will never kill anybody else. So that's the end result of it. Whether you're worrying about, will some other person decide I won't kill anybody because I could face the death penalty or not. And there are multiple cases of people who have gone to jail for a few years or many years and get out and still end up killing somebody else. Many cases of that. So again, it does deter crime. And God said the reason for giving the death penalty is man is made in the image of God. And I point out that Satan has no plan for anybody's life. His end result that he wants is death. And so he does whatever he can to end life. And that's one way he fights against God. And I pointed out, I don't have her name right in front of me. There it is. A lady in a magazine, Mary Elizabeth Williams, wrote a piece, "So What If Abortion Ends Life?" She came to the conclusion that, yeah, abortion does end life. And then her attitude was, so what? Because you got the life of the mother and you got the life of this little baby. And who's more important? The mother has a right to do what she wants to do. Most of the time, people who get abortions don't want to be troubled with having to raise a child. And it's more than just the economics of it. It's the effort it takes and the fact that that will always remind the particular person or people sin was involved when the child was conceived many times. I looked up the word fetus, and it's a Latin word, means small child. But it used to be not just a group of cells. And then our laws are really kind of funny in America. If you have a car wreck and a woman is pregnant, how many people died in a wreck? Two. If you robbing somebody and in the process shot a woman who was pregnant, she lives but the baby dies, you can get charged with murder. But if she had just walked down the street and had an abortion, that's okay. And that's kind of confusing. We've got laws like that. And I also know that you can go down and have an abortion, but if you went and broke some eagle's eggs, you're going to pay a penalty and you're going to go to jail for it. And it really gets kind of funny where it depends, I guess, on who's a politician and what they decide to vote on. But as Christians, we ought to be adamant that human life is sacred in the eyes of God, and we ought to do what we can to protect it. And the uproar that occurred when Roe versus Wade was overturned was kind of, to me, amazing. You got that many people that want to kill other people, and yet everything's okay. I'm glad that Roe versus Wade was overturned. By the way, that I left up on when we got done last week. So when people came in, they said, what? They're walking in. What's this? Shout Your Abortion. It's actually the name of a book. Yeah.
When you finish explaining that, talk about something else.
Oh, well, go ahead. Sure, it's called packing the Supreme Court, and the Democrats want to add at least three more justices, so now there would be 12 instead of 9. And with that, because Biden would be appointing the liberal judges, they could overturn the overturning of the Roe versus Wade. That's one thing about our country that is unique. We have three governing bodies, if you will. And the Supreme Court don't make laws, but they decide if those laws are constitutional or not. And people get upset with that. And they're for life. They're not every 4 years get reelected or something. But the framers of the Constitution wanted people who would look at the Constitution and try to keep things in alignment. And so our Constitution is even under attack by different people. They want to change it. The idea of the book was Shout Your Abortion was how much has it helped you to have an abortion? That was the idea of this book. Economically, you know, and career-wise, how do women benefit by having an abortion, which is kind of a sad commentary, quite frankly. And by the way, it's been ongoing. This is not something new. In the Bible, you have the god Moloch, you have Baal, and with I think it was Moloch is the one they would build. They built a steel image hollow, and they would build a fire inside that would get it red hot, and then lay babies up on the arms of this thing and kill their children. Imagine all of the screaming and yelling this little child would do, dying like that. But they did that in the worship of their god. I pointed out that the Aztecs and the Incas also evidently sacrificed young children in their worship of their god. What country, if I were to ask, what country is known that they would not feed people and let cows live? What? It's India. It's India. Wow. And you know that, don't you? Why? Because that's their religion. What?
I taught it last week.
Okay. But that's their religion, see? That the cow might be somebody going through the cycle of life to become a god. So they would let a young kid die starvation and make sure the cow gets plenty of food and nobody can touch it. If you were to kill a cow in India, probably you'd have a mob down at your house wanting your life, because that's what they do. The sanctity of life is important to us as Christians, and it should be. But abortion and the killing of young children is something that's been ongoing for all of generations. Ah, yeah, that's Kumo. He had him light that thing up. Which tower is that? That's the one in New York. Yeah. To celebrate the achievement of abortion. You know, it's not a quiet thing. This is something that is brought out in all the social media and stuff. And they want to do it for free, by the way. And I don't know if you've ever thought this through. I'm sure you're old enough to have done it. As soon as they say we're going to offer this free abortions, who's paying for it? We are, the taxpayers. And that's one reason, as Christians, if we don't agree with it, we ought to be vocal. You know, you want to have an abortion, maybe fine, but don't make me pay for your abortion. And by the way, if you want to go to college, you pay for it, you shouldn't have to pay your bill. I'm just getting political there, sorry about that. Let's see. Yeah, Governor Cuomo directed one of the spires of the World Trade Center to be lit up in pink in celebration of the Reproductive Health Act, a bill that expanded abortion rights and decriminalized the practice, because it used to be a criminal law against abortion. If you were a doctor and you performed an abortion, you could be charged, you could go to jail. And so when they made abortion available, they also had to make the law so that doctors would not be charged for doing it. Well, I have an opinion about that. And this is about where we ended last week. Okay, so now we're in a new territory, if you're keeping track and you're filling in your book. Okay, a response to the issues of life. There are Christians who agree with what we have studied so far regarding the sanctity of life, but who question if the topic is worth fighting for. After all, there are many types of injustices in our world today. Should we be quiet? I don't know about you, but I don't like always being in a fighting mode. You kind of try to avoid that. And there's sometimes you can avoid a conflict by just not saying anything. Am I right? Yeah. But is abortion one of those issues that we ought to be quiet about? Not really. Because what greater crime than you can do than to kill somebody? So yeah, we should take some kind of a political stance or some kind of verbal stance or something like that. I said last week and still believe that Al Humbert probably ought to be teaching this lesson instead of me, because I know he's been in direct contact with the abortion rights people. The Hippocratic Oath, you remember that one? That's the one that doctors are supposed to take. There's a little sentence in there: I will not give to a woman a pessary to cause an abortion. That's what all these doctors swear they're not going to do, but guess what? You've got doctor after doctor who now does perform abortion. Something I didn't know until I did read it, Plato and Aristotle, who were considered, you know, these great philosophers of life, both of them were pro-abortion. Aristotle even wrote, as to the exposure and rearing of children, let there be a law that no deformed child shall live, but that on the ground of an excess in the number of children. When a couple have children in excess, let abortion be procured before sense and life have begun. I did not know that these philosophers that the world really looked at were pro-abortion, but they are. Pagan societies, including Rome, used abortion to conceal sinful sex. Early Christian documents, during the first couple of centuries, one of the documents, thou shalt not murder a child by abortion, nor kill them when born. So this is not an issue brand new in the United States of America over the last 60, 70 years. This is something that's been in the history of the world since the very beginning. We should be considering ourselves privileged to stand a long line of Christians who have upheld the biblical truth of the sanctity of life. Martin Luther wrote, How many girls there are who prevent conception and kill and expel tender fetuses, although procreation is the work of God. So even Martin Luther, a long time ago, recognized that abortion was ongoing in his day and age. We find that Satan is always the author of confusion. He's always trying to do against what God says to do. This Mary Elizabeth Williams I mentioned earlier, in the midst of this unique moment, Planned Parenthood has taken the bold step of reframing the vernacular, moving away from the easy and easily divisive words life and choice. Instead, as a new promotional film acknowledges, it's not a black and white issue. In other words, it's not easy to come up with a yes or no answer or easy answer. The bottom line is, does it kill a baby or not? Does it kill a human being? Because that's what abortion is all about. I mentioned last week, remember, what's the youngest child ever born that's lived? How old was that child? 2-3 months. Actually, it's not even that long. 21 weeks, which is... That's 5 months and 1 week. And the child is out of the hospital and home with the parents and doing well. And so you have to realize that's pretty young in the conception process to have a baby that would be born because of whatever happened, but survived, and all the parts were there for it to survive, and it did survive. So... again, abortion, even to a young child, is wrong. the viability, the point at which the baby is potentially able to live outside the mother's womb. But what about those who have been seriously injured and require machines to keep them alive while their bodies heal? The dichotomy of, the child has no ability to think, no ability to do anything, so we ought to get rid of it. But here's an adult who's had an accident and right now is in a coma and can't think and can't do anything, but guess what? We'll keep him on the machine for months and then finally maybe he'll recover. Again, in this world that we're living in, some say abortion's okay and the others say no, it's not. And you want to justify when can you have an abortion? Here's an old person who's on a machine, and here's a young baby who could be put on a machine and live, but said we're going to kill it. Viability. Cognizance, the point at which the baby is aware of its surroundings. When is a person not aware of its surroundings? If you're in a coma, many of them have no ability to know what's being said or done around them. And yet we keep the one in a coma alive and yet say, that's a young child. We could go ahead and kill it because it doesn't know what's going on around it. And then the heartbeat. The moment the heartbeat is seen as a start of life by many of the pro-abortionists. But wait a minute. What about an old person who's on a pacemaker and or mechanically having his blood pumped? And we do that all the time. Again, that's those laws that are just so strange that we have here in America that allow one thing versus something else, you know. Scripture agrees. Psalms 51:5. The Bible says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me." Anybody remember your school days? I do. Yesterday I was 13 and I could tell you what I did. Now today I don't know where I put my keys 5 minutes ago, but that's just the way life is. Anybody go to a class on how to lie? Rick sticks his hand up. Guess what though? People lie without going to a class. We just automatically do that. That's a good phrase, doing what comes naturally. A baby speaks lies. Did you know that? My wife, more than one time, would hear our baby cry, go in a room, you just were fed, you haven't messed in your diapers, and you're dry, and you're acting like you're hungry, but we know you just ate, so why are you crying? And the babies lie like that. They learn at a very early age. Yeah. And they want you to pick them up and pamper them. Well, we just pampered you and then finally laid you down. It's time to go to sleep. You don't have to train people how to lie. They just automatically do it. And some people are known as they get older to be better at it than others. When does a baby start responding to life? They respond with clarity. Let's see, I'm behind a little bit. Okay, on the day of conception, now notice January 1, all 46 chromosomes are present, so a human life has already begun. This is a unique human being with a unique genetic makeup who can never be reproduced or replaced. Every individual is unique, and every individual cannot be replaced, okay? By January 22, 3 weeks after conception, the child's heart begins to beat, pumping their own blood. That's not very far down the road, if you will. And then by February the 4th, in the fifth week, which is around the time many mothers confirm that they are pregnant, which is beginning to show enough to say, okay, you're expecting a baby, they've missed their period, and, you know, they're probably pregnant. And then the child has eyes, legs, hands, and has begun to develop. By Valentine's Day, February the 14th, merely the sixth week after conception, the child's brain waves, which have already been active for some time, are now actually detectable. So this young baby, at a very early age, this is science, this is not theory, this is actually stuff that they can confirm, okay? Happening at a very quick rate. Late February, on only the seventh week from conception, the baby starts kicking and swimming. Just under 2 months into the pregnancy, every organ in the child's body is in place. The bones are taking shape. The fingerprints have already begun to form. And then by mid-March, teeth begin to form. Fingernails develop. The baby can turn their head and even frown. And they know this by ultrasound. They know this from all of the different things that have happened over the time. Late March, the baby can grasp objects placed in her hand or their hand. And see, again, a lot of the pro-abortion people want to talk about it's just a bunch of cells, it's not a human being, when in actuality, these things are actually occurring already. By late April, the baby can start having dreams during REM sleep. Everybody dream? Everybody dreams, yeah? How many of you dream in color?
I have. A couple times,
but no. Most of the time I'm black and white, okay? How many dream in color in 3D? Okay. Very few.
I've had nightmares.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, how often do you dream? Now, I'm one of these people, by the way, maybe because of my military background, sleep anytime, anywhere. I can lay down, it's like a switch. I'm out. My wife can tell you, I'm out within a minute or two. I'm that quick. And I don't dream, I say. Because you dream when you're halfway between waking up and asleep or something like that. But I do dream. Everybody dreams. They put sensors on the eyes, and when they're talking about REM sleep, the eyes begin to flutter. And if they wake you up, you'll remember your dream. Now, how often do you dream? Once, twice a night? Once as you're going to sleep, once as you're waking up? The average person dreams a dream every 45 minutes. You don't remember the others. So in St. Vincent, they're big on, well, you know that wreck? They're never telling me before it happens. I had a dream last night, and today there's going to be a wreck between a red car and a blue car, such and such. Never that. But it's always, I had a dream last night about that, and they're big on dreams. But with 6,000 people living in Barley, where we were, and everybody dreaming 8 dreams a night at least. That's 48,000 dreams in one night. Why should your dream be so special? I'll put it in perspective. But they have done a lot of tests on dreams. And to a certain extent, you can actually control your dreams. If you're thinking bad, want to get even thoughts with somebody else, you probably might have some violent dreams, whereas if you concentrate on the good, maybe you won't. I remember reading of a small boy who was having violent nightmares. These monsters would come and get him. And so his dad took him out to the shooting range with a 45 caliber pistol and let him shoot it, see what damage it would do. And he says, now when that demon comes for you in the night, shoot it. And the boy said, The next day he said, yeah, I shot him. He ain't bothering me no more. So dreams we can influence a little bit, but everybody will dream. I find it amazing that they know by late April, born, you know, conceived in January 1st, they know that this little baby is having dreams. And then something else, 84% of all mothers who see an ultrasound choose not to have an abortion. That seems to be a major thing. So Al Humbert, I don't know how you set up movies on a street corner, but that might be an idea there. There you go. But I'm just saying, this seems to be a statistic that they've come to, that a lot of women have been told so often it's just a bunch of cells. It's not really a living person. But when they see an ultrasound, it's like, that is a living person.
They have a trailer there that has a lot of this
okay.
on it.
Yeah.
They will give an ultrasound.
Okay.
And offer them ways of being able to handle
yeah,
it.
I've...
It works a lot.
Yeah. In this book, they were talking about people who, when they're going to have an abortion, never get to see an ultrasound. And there's one particular lady who had an abortion, and then she was going to do a second abortion and saw an ultrasound. And it shocked her so much, she said no. And she's not going to have an abortion. And she's like, what happened with the first one, you know? It is kind of an amazing. My wife has miscarried twice, and the second one I saw the little baby at what, 3 months, and it was completely intact. We knew it was a boy. You know that it's not just a bunch of cells. It is a living person. Okay, save the storks. Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Back in the 3 weeks, about 3 weeks after conception, the child's heart begins to beat, pumping their own blood. And the book says often a different blood type than the mother's. Are you aware of the blood type, where it comes from? The father. And before they had DNA, if they were going to prove this child's father and economically responsible for raising that child, they would look at the blood type before they had DNA. Now, if Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, well, guess who his father is in a sense? It's God. And with that point, the blood is perfect and without any corruption or sin. So that's kind of interesting too. Some more of the political things here. Wow. This is a long lesson.
I'm sorry, it was on the board.
What?
You had a PowerPoint slide for Save the Storks. I don't know what it is. On the screen it says Save the Storks.
Oh, yeah. I don't know either. I've lost track.
I guess they rather say
that was the one where this lady called Amy, she found herself pregnant with her mind set on abortion, but she saw the ultrasound, that was it. And with that, decided not to, and she wrote the book, Save the Stork. Okay, there we go. I got so many notes that come with this book, but sometimes I don't know what to do with it. All right. The abortion industry agrees about a lot of things. The primary goal of the abortion industry is to conceal the reality of their work and thus to downplay their outright deny the humanity of the babies they kill. David, no, I already moved back. David D'Elia Dyan snuck a camera in and talked to these Planned Parenthood people. They tried to discredit him, but they have not been able to. But all of these aborted babies, they sell lungs, heart, and liver and make money off of it. And one of the COVID vaccines, I understand, used some of these parts to test their COVID vaccine or to make it, I forget which, but it's a big industry. It's a big industry. And they... Right. Yeah, and it don't come cheap. There are some countries of the world, like in China and Russia, where if you're a convict, you could be donating your liver to something because they're going to sell your liver. And they don't care if you die because you're just a convict. Abby Johnson was a former director of Planned Parenthood in Southeast Texas. And she happened to watch an abortion by ultrasound and realized how the baby reacted to it before it was killed. And she quit that and has become pro-life now. Okay, if you're doing the book, respond with conviction. Six things does the Lord hate, Proverbs 6, 16 through 17. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Can't get much more innocent than a baby who can't fight back. And then I mentioned last week, what about cases of rape or incest? First of all, there's only about 1% ever involved in rape or incest. 99% of all abortions were people who were not in that particular case. And they want to somehow lump them all together and how that's how the law is going to treat it. But that shouldn't be that way. And then this lady, Kathy Barnett, was a child that was going, could have been aborted. Her mother was 12, father was 21, but the mother went ahead and had her, and she is alive and well. She's been in the military. My life has value. I'm not an inanimate object. I am a person. And from me, I've given birth to two beautiful, healthy, intelligent, loving little people who are just destined to grow up into productive members of this great society. I'm a veteran. I'm a staunch lover of this country. I'm a supportive sister, a respectful niece, and a devoted wife. Best of all, I get the wonderful opportunity to care for my mother. You have to think about abortion as murder. But how did the person get pregnant? Probably by sin in many cases. One sin doesn't justify a second sin. It only complicates things. So again, as Christians, we ought to be very vocal about it. Respond with compassion. The attitude of which we do it, if they think of us as militants, well, a little bit, but by the same token, they are people that want to do this abortion stuff need to realize we do it because we love people. And that has to do with our attitude. Several things we can do. We can pray, obviously. We can speak. We can foster, adopt. Adoption has got to the point most people I know of adopt foreign children because there's not enough in America anymore to adopt. Used to be adoptions were in America. Not cheap to adopt, but, you know, it's still one way to, what do you do with this child that He's got a 12-year-old mother and has no way to take care of it. If you're going to be against abortion, what's the alternate plan? You're going to have a baby born and then what? So again, sanctity of life. So people are going to come in. So let's pray and we'll go on. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. It teaches us to not murder. And Lord, it teaches us that as a very young child that you knew us and you